The following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talk of Shabbos Parshas Emor, Chof Iyar, of the year Hei Tinase, corresponding to the year 1991. The Rebbe begins by characterizing the idea of redemption based on the word that is most frequently used for redemption, which is Geula. And the Rebbe says that the true and complete redemption is referred to as Geula, not Hatzalah, being saved, or Yetziah, going out of the Golos, or any similar expression, even though they also express the idea of redemption. But the word is Geula, and the Rebbe says there are two reasons for this. Number one, the word Geula contains within it the word Gola, which is Golos, exile. And that teaches you that the purpose and the function of Geula is to elevate all that we've done, all of our service in Golos. And that is done by simply inserting the Aleph, which is reference to God, who is the Aleph, the master of the world, and introducing that into what we do in Golos. That's one reason why we prefer the word Geula to describe the future redemption. A second reason is that Geula comes specifically through and as a consequence of our Aveda in Golos. And that's why most of the letters of the word Geula, in fact, are the letters Gimel, Vav, Lamed, He, which spells Geula. Because it's Geula, it's what we do now, that brings Geula. This, the Rebbe says, was explained at great length in the preceding Sikh of the week before of Parshas Achrimais Kedeshim. So now the Rebbe says he's going to dwell on additional aspects of the word Geula that will clarify what it is that we have to do now, the very eve of Geula. The Geula, the redemption from Egypt, was the opening of the pathway for all future redemptions. And in what way is it the model, the paradigm? Not only did the Jewish people leave Egypt, but they went with all their property, everything that they owned. But not only that, they also went with all of the rechush of all the wealth of Egypt, silver, gold, garments. That was all transferred to the domain of the Jewish people, and that too was liberated from Egypt. In other words, not only did the Jews leave Egypt, but also the Golos, the exile itself, was liberated and fulfilled the purpose for which it was created. It was created to bring about the fulfillment of God's blessing that the Jewish people will leave with great wealth. And something very strange happened in Egypt. After all the makos, all the plagues that they sustained, the Egyptians came and they lent willingly, of their own volition, their silver, their gold, and even more than what the Jews requested, they gave this on loan to all of the Jewish people. And they even compelled them to take their wealth. What was the reason why the Egyptians were so eager to give and share their wealth with the Jewish people? There was no direct command from God himself. And whatever commandment there was only to the Jewish people that they should ask of the Egyptians. Why were the Egyptians so eager? And the answer, the Rebbe says, is because Geula elevates and refines the Golos itself. It's not that we're escaping Golos, we're taking the Golos with us and elevating it. That's why the Egyptians, some of whom were intelligent people, sensed that ultimately God is the creator of the world, and he's the master of the world, whether they knew this consciously or subconsciously, and therefore they willingly shared their wealth with the Jewish people. Another thing that we see over here, it's precisely the Jewish people's descent into exile that brought about this profitable venture that they came out of Egypt with great wealth. And this is the paradigm for all redemptions, including the complete redemption that we will very soon enter into. Number one, it elevates and refines the Golos itself, and it comes as a result of what we do in Golos. But the Rebbe says things are still in need of clarification. Besides the fact that the Egyptians began to recognize that God is the master of the world, as it says, V'yedu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, the Egyptians shall know that I am God. In addition to that, there were some other phenomenal, extraordinary things that happened to the Jewish people. Nigu aleihem b'chvedu v'atzmei. God himself in his glory and essence revealed himself, and that aspect of God transcends the world, transcends God just being the master of the world. He's above and beyond that. And if we pay attention that the purpose of going out of Egypt, the ultimate goal, the objective was to get the Torah at Mount Sinai, what did God say at Mount Sinai? Anechi havaya likecha. I, God, its very essence, is God, your God. God spoke to us face to face. This is much higher than God just simply being the master, the one who's involved with running the affairs of the world. And Torah in general is higher than the world. And especially when we talk about the true and complete redemption, then we'll have a revelation of godliness that is completely beyond the creation of the world. And in addition to the fact that God is the master of the world, then there'll be a complete innovation that will affect the world itself. There'll be new heavens, it says, and new earth. And also with regard to the revelation of godliness, we will have the very essence of God himself that will be revealed here in this world. And there'll be novelties and innovations to Torah itself, as it says, Torah chadasha mititetze, totally new vistas and dimensions of Torah will come from God, will be fully revealed. And there'll be a novelty that the entire world will be preoccupied with the knowledge of God exclusively. And all this will happen in the future redemption. So how is that hinted in the word Geula, which is simply an aleph put into Geula? If all that means is that we will recognize that God is the master of the world, it seems that that is short of what the true redemption will reveal to us, which is much more than God just being part of the world. So the Rebbe says that that can be understood by virtue of analysis of the letter aleph itself. In addition to the fact that aleph is reference to God as the master, Alufei Shel Olam, the master of the world, the Aleph really has three connotations. Number one, the first one that we just said, that Aleph means he's in control of the world. He rules the world. He's the master of the world. Also, the word Aleph comes from another root in Hebrew, which means to learn and study. As it says, Alafcha Chachma, Alafcha Bin, I will teach you wisdom, I will teach you understanding. And Aleph, if you rearrange the letters, it also forms the word Pele, which means something that is wondrous, something is beyond understanding. In order to transform Gola, exile, you have to introduce the Aleph, and that way you turn it into Geula. But there are three stages in which this happens. It doesn't happen in one stage and then it's over. It goes through three different aspects of Geula. And the function of a Jew is to reveal in the world that God is the master of the world. He is in control of every little detail of the world. And that will bring Geula because every creature will know that God himself created him. That's one level. That's the first stage. There's another stage, an even higher stage, to reveal the wonders that will be experience in the time of Geula, as it says, Ki mei tzeischem eretz Mitzrayim arenu neflois, that just like as the days in which we left Egypt, so will I show them wonders in the future. That means there will be wonders compared to what we experience at the Exodus. And there's a special emphasis on revealing the wonders in Torah. The most esoteric, the most secret dimensions of Torah will be revealed and will penetrate and permeate the lower levels. So we have three levels. We have the level of God as the master of the world. We have God as the one who is involved in the world in an intellectual way, and that we will grasp that knowledge of God, not just the awareness that he is the master, and then we will experience God's wonders that transcend even his knowledge and understanding. Translating this in the terminology of Chassidus, each of these stages corresponds to a different divine attribute. The first level, Alufei Shel Olam, the master of the world, corresponds to the attribute of Malchus, the tenth divine attribute, which refers to God as a sovereign of the world. He's in control of the world. The second level, which is ulfana v'limud, study, understanding, knowledge, that corresponds to the first two attributes of chachma and bina, that really transcend the world because the world was created through God's emotional attributes, whereas his intellectual attributes are beyond the world, but they're connected to the world. To use the terminology of Chassidus, it's meichin hashaychim l'olam. It's intellect, but intellect that relates to the world, even though it is not fully vested within the world, but it is related to the world. And then we have the third level, which is Pera, the wonders, that corresponds to what is called in Chassidus Pnimius HaChachma, the inner dimension of Chachma, or Keser, the crown, which are phenomenal and extraordinary levels that are completely above and beyond having any relationship with the world. Now, we have to learn Torah in order to do mitzvahs and to know how to sanctify the world. In the time of redemption, we'll have to also learn in a way that not only refines the world, but also the human mind, which is not even connected to what you do in the world itself. And that's why in the future redemption, levels of godliness that are completely beyond the world, God's essence will also be revealed down here in this world. So now we can understand that whatever will happen in the time of Geula, even the most extraordinary, most phenomenal, most transcendent things that will happen, are all hinted in the word Geula, because it's Geula inserting the Aleph, and the Aleph itself has three levels that will become apparent and revealed in the time of Geula. So what this means is that we shouldn't be content with just refining the world by doing whatever we do for the sake of heaven and the like, because that reveals God as the one in control of the world. We're doing things for him because he is our master. But we also have to reveal the fact that God is above the world. He is in the level of the intellect that transcends the world, and we do that by learning Torah, because that way we connect to God's intellect, which is above the world. But we also have to reveal the most phenomenal and most transcendent and elusive levels of godliness that are completely beyond the world, as indicated by the rearrangement of the letter Aleph, the word Aleph, to read Pella, and that we achieve by learning the inner dimensions, the Pella, the wonders of Torah. Now, concerning the future redemption, it is said, Eidcha havaya ki enafta bi, toshuv apcha v'senachameni, that we thank God for getting angry at me, and we say to God, cease your anger and bring the redemption. In other words, we're going to thank God for him getting angry at us in the time of Golos. How could that be? If it means we're going to thank him for Geula that comes afterwards, then it's not a complete gratitude, because it's better that we didn't have the anger of Golos. So why are we thanking him for the Golos? So we're compelled to say that the thankfulness is for the anger, because it's only through the anger associated with Golos that we can reach the highest stages and levels of Geula, the most wondrous levels, by revealing the Aleph, which is the ultimate purpose that God had in Geula. Then we'll be able to thank him for this phenomenal experience, this wonder that the Golos was so long, because only then we'll be able to appreciate this wondrous level, because we're going to be exposed to the most powerful, most transcendent dimensions of Torah, Pnimius HaTorah, in the time of Geula. Now, since Geula comes through Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach who is the king, so he's not just an incidental aspect of redemption. It's self-understood that Mashiach himself has to represent those three different levels of Geula. Concerning Mashiach, the Rambam writes, he has to come from the house of King David. Since leadership, sovereignty, kingship, royalty comes from the house of David, because from the time David was anointed to be a king, that role of Malchus, of royalty, is related to him and to his children forever. And the Rambam says that Mashiach is not only a descendant of King David, but he also has to be from the seed of Shlomo, of King Solomon. So the question is, why is it so important that he's a descendant of Shlomo? Of course, Shlomo was a son of David, but why do we have to emphasize his role as an ancestor of Mashiach? And the Rebbe's explanation is that in the time of King Solomon, we had complete peace and tranquility in the world, which is a model for the time of redemption. By contrast, in the times of King David, there were wars, and King David was actually told, Dam l'rav shafach, you had shed much blood in the wars that he had to fight. When did we have complete peace? The model of redemption in the days of King Solomon. And the reason why there was peace, because Shlomo represented chachma, wisdom in its most complete form. In addition to the fact that he was king, but he also had this tremendous wisdom, and it was expressed by virtue of the fact that he was smarter than even the wisest men of Egypt. That all the wise people of the nations of the world were completely subordinated to Shlomo because they were impressed and overwhelmed by his superior wisdom, and he had no need to fight wars against them because they recognized his superior position of wisdom, and that's why there was peace. That means the peace was so exalted that the nations themselves not only didn't fight King Solomon, but they helped him in his efforts to refine the world. And that caused that his kingship was the way it was. With regard to King David's kingship, there were people who contested it. But when King Solomon became king, there was peace. There was no one contesting it. Now, the kingdom of King Solomon could have continued, and then the first Beis HaMikdash would have been eternal, but because we didn't merit, and because of certain negative things that happened, King Solomon's kingdom was split into two kingdoms, and afterwards the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and that led to the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and the final Golus that we're in, until the kingship of Mashiach will restore everything, and it will be more complete even than the kingship of King Solomon. That's why Rambam has to indicate that Mashiach will be a descendant of both King David and also of King Solomon, in order to clarify that when Mashiach will become king, his kingship will be complete. That the chachm, the wisdom, in the attribute of Malchus will be complete. And he will be even wiser than King Solomon. And even the level of Pella, the wonders, which is the pnimius, the inner dimension, and the perfection of Chachma, he will have in the most perfect way. And he will also be a Melech. He will also have Malchus and a Rav, which represents the idea of Chachma. And he will also teach pnimius of Torah. He will teach the wonders, the Pella of Torah. And his Midas, his character traits, will be perfect, as it says about Mashiach, V'nacha olav ruach havaya, that the Spirit of God will rest upon him, the Spirit of Chachma and Bina, the Spirit of Counsel and Gvura and Strength, the Ruach Das, the Spirit of Knowledge, V'yiras Hashem, and Awe of God. He will have, his entire personality will be in the most perfect way. And that's because he will have this revelation of all these three stages of the Aleph that is inserted into the word Gola to produce Geula. In order that every Jew could receive this revelation of Mashiach, every Jew also has to have a sample, at least, of these three characteristics of Mashiach. In addition to the fact that every Jew has a spark of the soul of Mashiach, and we say this in the holidays and every festival, we express the prayer of Yiskayim Banu Mikra, Shekosav Nachol of Ruach Havaya. May the verse that states, and the Spirit of God will rest upon him, may that be fulfilled with us. That's the verse that's referring to Mashiach, and yet we say that may we experience that, demonstrating that we all possess a spark of Mashiach. And in the three different levels of Malchus, of leadership, Midos, our emotional traits, and Chachma, wisdom. So we have the Chachma, the wisdom that's related to Midas, to our emotions, and we have the inner dimension of Chachma, which is the essence of Meichen. All of that represents the traits of Mashiach, we all have a spark of that. And that's the meaning of the first Mishnah, the first paragraph of Ethics of the Fathers, Pirkei Avos, the first Mishnah of the fourth chapter that we read this week, where it's asked the question rhetorically, Eizeh HaChacham, who is a wise person? And it answers, Haleimen Mikol Adam, one who learns from every person. Who is a Gibor, who is a strong person? HaKoybosh Es Yitzro, who could conquer his own evil impulse. Eizeh HaAsher, who is a rich person? HaSameach B'chelka, who is satisfied with his lot. Eizeh HaMechubet, who is an honored person? HaMechabet Es HaBriyos, one who honors other people. And here you have four different details. Now this corresponds to the four letters of God's name, which in turn corresponds to the four levels of the ten attributes. You have the Yud stands for Chachma, the He stands for Bina, the Vav stands for the Midos, for the emotional traits, and the He stands for Malchus. And these four are represented by the four questions in this Mishnah. Who is a Chacham? That's Chachma. Who is a Gibor? Gibor's strength is related to Bina. Who is rich? That refers to Tiferes. That's the central one of the emotional traits, which represents beauty and wealth. And who is honored? Honor is connected to sovereignty, to royalty. That's Malchus. Every Jew has all these four details because he has a godly soul, which is a part of God's name, the Yudkei Vavkei. All that a Jew has to do is to reveal these traits, and he will have a sample of what Mashiach has. When a Jew has all these four things in a revealed manner, that's what creates God's Malchus to be complete. Just like, how do you make a chair, a throne, a royal throne, complete, stable? It has to have four legs. Four legs makes it really stable. And since every Jew is in possession of this perfection, because every Jew, it says, are b'nei melachim, are children of kings, and not only that, they are considered to be kings, not just children of kings, to such an extent that every Jew is connected to God's glory. The Jew is part of God's glory. And when you consider the fact that every Jew has a portion of God's Torah, that means every Jew is connected to and could reach the wisdom in Malchus and the perfection of Malchus and to the throne of Malchus. And one should be indicated, the Rebbe says, that when you talk about the throne of Malchus, the royal throne, that causes sitting on the throne. When you have a throne that's meant and intended for the king to sit on it, what happens when a person sits down? The king's head bows, and his legs, in turn, are raised up on a footstool. So what happens there, this is what it symbolizes, is that which is higher comes down below, and that which is below is elevated above. That's an expression to the unification of the most hidden, wondrous, divine elements that transcend the world, as they become synthesized with and revealed within the world. The Aleph in Geula, which produces Geula. And this is especially expressed and manifested on Shabbos, because the 7 days of the week correspond to the seven emotional traits, which in Chassidus are referred to as Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hayd, Yesod, and Malchus. Shabbos corresponds to Malchus, especially as it was in the year the Rebbe said the Sikha, that we count Shabbos as the last of the count of a week, so each Shabbos is Malchus of that sphere, and this Shabbos in particular is the fifth week, the fifth Shabbos, in which we count the sphere of Malchus Shebehayd. So we have Malchus, royalty, together with Hayd. Hayd means the acknowledgement of something that is away above us. So we have the ultimate manifestation of Malchus in a way that is connected to Pella, that which is wondrous. This unification of Pella, the wonders that are totally above the world, into the world, is underscored this Shabbos because of its proximity to the holiday of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is the day of the Histalkus of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who revealed the inner dimension of Torah. The day that he passed away, he revealed the innermost dimension of the inner dimension of Torah. And by putting them in writing in the book called the Zohar, that became accessible and revealed to the Jewish people that everyone can understand it, which is a sample of that which will be revealed in the time of Geula, when the inner teachings of Torah will be fully revealed. Now, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was also involved with the unification of the inner dimension of Torah with the revealed part of Torah. He revealed and unified the Pella, the wonders of Torah, with the wisdom, that part of Torah which is accessible to our mind that we can comprehend. And by doing so, Rashbi gave us the strength to unify the godliness that is above the world and to translate that into the world. And to use his terminology, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "Kol makom shegalu Yisrael, shchini imohen." Wherever the Jews were exiled, the divine presence is with them. That indicates this idea that you're taking godliness, the Shechina, which can be revealed to each Jew down here, wherever the Jew happens to be. Rashbi was concerned with revealing godliness, not just to the Jewish people, but to the entire world, as he said, "Yochalani lifteras kol ha'olam kuli min hadin." I have the power to exonerate the entire world from any adverse judgment. Not only was he able to affect the Jewish people, but he was able to exonerate the whole world. The word world comes from the word helem, the concealment of the world, and to take it out of its judgment, which is an allusion to galus. Lag BaOmer itself is also connected to bringing godliness into the world, because Lag BaOmer corresponds to the sphere of Hayd Shebehayd. Hayd is acknowledgement, submission, within Hayd, within submission. So Hayd represents Haydah, recognizes something that is above you, Pela, the wonders. And on one hand, Hayd is the fifth attribute, which is connected to revealing that which is not within the structure of the system, talking about really unrestrained energy. As it says, V'chamishis leParo, the fifth portion would go to Paro, and Chassidus explains that Paro comes from a word which means that which is completely open, unstructured. So on one hand, you have this idea of totally unstructured, unmitigated, unrestricted divine energy, and all this is introduced into the world, into the structure of the world, into one's midos, to one's characteristics of one's soul, because Hayd is the end of the most essential aspects of one's personality. From Rashbi, the revelation of the inner dimension of Torah was introduced to future generations until the Arizal, who says now it's a mitzvah to reveal this wisdom, which was heretofore concealed. And afterwards, the Baal Shem Tov came along and he increased the dissemination of the inner teachings of Torah. The Maggid of Mizrich, who together with the Baal Shem Tov were the founders of the Hasidic movement. And afterwards came the Alter Rebbe, who instituted Chassidus Chabad, which introduced the deepest secrets of Torah into our intellect. And that continued through our Rebbes, our leaders of Chabad, who revealed the inner teachings of Torah into Chachma, into Bina, into Das, into our soul, and throughout the entire world. And this continued by the previous Rebbe. The Rebbe, of course, refers to him as my father-in-law, the Rebbe, the leader of our generation. And that continues into our generation, that in addition to the revelation, the new revelations of the inner parts of Torah that increase from year to year, we're seeing the publication of teachings of Chassidus that were heretofore concealed, and they have become publicized in recent times. There's a verse that says, Maskil Eisen Hazrachi. Maskil represents the power of intellect, and its purpose is Ezrachi, comes from the word to shine, and Eisen comes from the word tough, hard, representing the essence of the soul. And the idea of Maskil Eisen Hazrachi is to bring this strength of the essence of the soul, to bring it into all of our faculties, to take that which is above intellect, bring it into intellect, and then from there to spread it to the whole world, as the chapter of Psalms in which that verse appears concludes, Baruch Hashem la'olam, amen, amen. Blessed is God forever. And la'olam comes from the word la'olam, to the world, that this high revelation comes into the world. And afterwards, the psalmist says, V'hi nayam Hashem alekeinu alein, may the pleasantness of God be upon us. The word nayam, pleasantness, refers to tainug, the inner delight that transcends the world, and that should permeate ma'ain. Nayam, if you rearrange the letters, reads the word ma'ain, the dwelling place, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. In simple words, the Rebbe says, by learning Torah, especially by learning the inner dimension of Torah that was revealed in Chassidus, and also by looking at the face of the Rebbe, a Jew becomes a song and a vessel for godliness in this world. First, you have to start service and working with yourself, that you should be concerned not just that you're not a Russia, but you have to become a tzaddik. And in our generation, the Rebbe says, every single Jew has the power to be a tzaddik in the most revealed way, in the most complete way. It'll be in the future redemption, but we all have that ability right now. And after you finish with your own service, or concurrent with your own service, you have to disseminate the inner teachings of Torah to the whole world. And that will be the appropriate preparation for the Geula, when the whole world will know God exclusively. The lesson from all this is very simple, the Rebbe says. In addition to all the good deeds that everyone does to reveal that everything in this world is created by God and He is the master of the world, Aluf Eshel Olam, we also have to have a special increase in the learning of Torah, especially learning Pnimius HaTorah, the inner teachings of Torah as it was revealed in the teachings of Chassidus, which means that you have it in a way of understanding, comprehension, and influence your environment to do the same. And may it be the will that the end of this process of introducing the Aleph and Gola will bring immediately, literally, imminently, the complete and true redemption to the entire Jewish people as they are. And all of us together, with all of our possessions, and all of our shuls, and all of our houses of study, and all the Torah scrolls, including the Torah scroll that was written recently, which was written at the behest of, with the efforts of Jewish women, who also increased in the giving of tzedakah, through all of this we will come to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the third Beis Hamikdash, the sanctuary of God that God's own hands have shaped. The following is a summary of the synopsis. The Geula has two functions. Number one, it elevates Geula, Golos. Number two, it comes through Golos, through our efforts in Golos. And how is that represented? By the idea that Geula is the same word as Geula, just that you put the Aleph inside of it. And by doing that, you bring the Geula. And here the Rebbe says there are three stages, three details, and three different stages. Number one, Aleph comes from the word alufay, shalayla, master of the world. That refers to the godliness that's within range of the world. That's the attribute of malchus. Number two, aleph comes from the term alafcha, chachma, teaching, wisdom. This refers to godliness that is above the world. God's intellect is above the world, but is connected to the world. And that corresponds to the divine attribute of chachma and bina. Then you have aleph rearranged, forms the word pella, wonders, wondrous, godliness that is completely above the world, and that corresponds to the inner dimension of the attribute of Keser, the crown, that is transcendent. And all of these three levels you have to introduce into the word Gola. And how do you do that? Number one, by revealing that everything in this world, every detail, is subordinate to God, who's their creator, their master. And God is within everything. That's stage number one. Number two, by learning Torah, that reveals God's intellectual attributes that are above the world but connected to the world. And number three, by learning Pnimius of Torah, the inner part of Torah, the wonders of Torah, which represents that aspect of the divine which is completely beyond the world. And that's how we bring the Geula, which will include the most extraordinary wonders that are associated with Geula. And these three details can be found in Mashiach himself, and actually in every Jew. And every Jew has to reveal this potential that he has within him and actualize it. And in terms of the action, which is the most essential thing, Hamasahu Ha'ikar, the Rebbe has two general instructions. By learning Torah in general, especially by learning Pnimius HaTorah, the inner dimension of Torah, and also including by looking at the face of the Rebbe, of the teacher, that is the hachana, the preparation, and the vessel for Geula. That's number one. Number two, in addition to what we do throughout the rest of the world, in order to reveal godliness in the whole world, you also have to increase the learning of Torah and Chassidus, and to influence others by disseminating Torah and Judaism and the fountains of Chassidus in particular. Just some excerpts from this talk, some highlights of this talk. The Rebbe says that after everything that happened, the refinement of the world that the Jewish people accomplished throughout all of the generations, every Jew has the power to reach the highest of levels, including being a tzaddik, in the most revealed way. As it says, V'amech kulam tzaddikim, your nation are all righteous, that can be fully revealed, and that will come to its most complete state in the true and complete redemption. And then the Rebbe says, one could say that the emphasis that Mashiach is not just from the house of David, but also from the seed of King Solomon, because with the novelty of Mashiach is that he will, on one hand, have the quality of David, Malchus, royalty, and also the quality of Shlomo, which is Shalom, which is peace. We know that Mashiach has two roles. He's a king, a melech, and he's also a rav, a teacher of Torah. He will teach Torah to everyone, including the most wondrous and extraordinary aspects of the inner dimension of Torah. And in order for a Jew to be able to be receptive to the revelation of Mashiach, a Jew has to have these levels, at least a sample of these levels. And now to read a few excerpts from the work Besuras HaGeula. The simple lesson regarding the actions which a Jew must do to further hasten the redemption, and the Rebbe says, are, in addition to the activities in his part of the world, until it includes the whole world, to reveal that God is the master of the world, in the world and in every part of the world, particularly through making use of all aspects of the world for the sake of heaven and in knowing him, so that everything in the world reveals the glory of God. So in addition to that, there must also be a specific increase in studying and learning the Torah, particularly the inner teachings of the Torah as revealed in the teachings of Chassidus, in a manner of comprehension and perception, in wisdom, understanding and knowledge, Chachma, Bina, and Das, and also to have influence on others around him through spreading Torah and Judaism and through spreading of the wellsprings of Torah.